Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we talk about if anyone on the Heat's roster could be the second banana on a championship team.
Then we'll talk about how the Heat can help Hassan Whiteside if they aren't able to trade him. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and Fansided. You can follow me in my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
Part one of our mailbag posted on Monday, but we got so many questions, David, that we have to record a part two. And we'll do a speed round at the end to get to all of them, so let's just jump right into it. Jeff asks, can anyone on the Heat roster be the second best overall player on a finals team in the next 4 years if the first best player is an MVP quality player?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I do think that there could be one player, and it might be a little surprising to hear, but I think that player could be... Go for it.
You're going to say Bam Adebayo.
I was not. I was going to say Justice Winslow.
Huh.
Even more surprising, perhaps.
It is more surprising.
I think maybe I'm just a little bit too high on him after what I saw during the playoffs, but I really think that given the level of defense, given what we've seen from him offensively, I think there's potential there for him to be the kind of superstar, versatile, like maybe really, really, really good role player. If not, you know, I don't know. Understand? Maybe best two-way player or somewhere along those lines. I mean, he needs to be a better, more consistent shooter from three-point range. But you could see him developing into a Paul George type player, right? Somebody who's a capable defensive, you know, forward who can guard a number of positions. He's a good passer. He's a good playmaker for others. And as long as he becomes a better offensive player, I could see him having that kind of superstar, reaching that superstar level.
Maybe we're splitting hairs here, but I see him as like the third best overall player.
Okay.
But maybe like the second most important player because of his two-way versatility.
That's fair.
I'm getting very specific, but I picture him somewhere in between his top end. His top end. I'm not saying he's going to get here, but some top end in the next 4 years, somewhere between Draymond Green and Paul George. I think he has more athleticism, natural athleticism than Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. So his top end is actually better than Draymond Green's.
Could be.
I just don't know that he doesn't have the length and the overall athleticism that Paul George has. So I think it's somewhere below that. But I think he could play like a Draymond type role. Like if you put Paul George in that Draymond role, I could see that.
Yeah.
Now that's very high. That's a very high top end, but that's what it is.
Sure.
And Draymond Green was probably the third best player on the Warriors' first championship team, but
you
behind
two other
Clay
MVP.
And Steph.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, I'm talking before Durant.
Oh, but I'm sorry.
Behind Clay and Steph, Draymond was probably the third best player, but the second most important player behind Steph. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I could see Justice playing a similar role. That said, I do think Miami has – I don't know that they have the quote-unquote second banana, the second best overall player. I don't know that they have, you know, the Shaq to Dwayne Wade. I don't know that they have the Pippen to Jordan right now.
Let's phrase it another way just to change the argument around a little bit. Who was the second best player on Cleveland's finals team this year?
Jeff Green.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. Kevin Love.
Yeah, right. Kevin Love. So Kevin Love – is not an ideal player. Who would you say is a better or could become a better player? Let's say in 2 years, if
okay,
Justice
that's
continues.
Winslow and Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo could all be better than what Kevin Love was for the Cavs this past year because they didn't use him right. But that matters. That said, they had LeBron James as their first best player.
Except for a lot of mistakes, sure.
Yeah, I don't even count that. But to me, MVP quality player would be like a Steph Curry or a Kawhi Leonard. Or Kevin Durant, guys are a notch below LeBron, who isn't historically able to make up for literally all of the team's weaknesses. But I'll say this. The Heat, with the roster they have a lot of the parts that you need on a championship team. Like Justice Winslow is a guy you need. Josh Richardson, his two-way ability, his ability to get steals and turn half-court possessions into transition opportunities is a thing you need. Mm-hmm. I think there's Bam Adebayo's switching ability and versatility at the five is something you need. Kelly Olynyk's passing ability and just basketball IQ is something you need. I think they have a lot of parts. I just don't know that there's that second guy yet. And I would say that they don't, and I don't think any of these guys could really turn into that. But they are also very important. They could also play very important roles for a finals team, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, if the Cavaliers had Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, they would have been much better off, right? But none of those guys would have been one of their top two players this year. So, I don't know. Anything else on this before we move on?
No, let's do it.
All right. We've been recording mock trade calls to try to trade Whiteside, and we'll have a few posting later this week, but what can the Heat do if they can't trade Whiteside? We'll talk about that after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat. We've got some trade ideas coming up later on, but let's get to this next question. It comes from PJ, who writes in, I don't understand why the front office hasn't shipped Whiteside away yet, and I doubt he even gets traded this offseason/season. With that being said, should Spo let him shoot threes and play him how Hassan thinks he can play in his mind?
Wow, an interesting question. So the first part of PJ's statement there, why the front office hasn't shipped Whiteside, I'm pretty sure it's not for lack of trying. If we learned anything from our trade calls coming up later this week, it's that it's been extremely difficult. For all the complaints that we have about Hassan Whiteside, there is just as much either lack of understanding as far as what his game is or what his impact might be, but the cost of that contract is just so exorbitant. A lot of people don't want to make the move for a player, even as one potentially as good as Hassan Whiteside could be. For the second part of PJ's question, I don't think shooting threes is the best way to play. I really don't. I don't think Spo should allow that. It's one thing to take those opportunities when they're there, but I think the most important thing for Whiteside to do, and it's something we talked about in his exit interview, is just becoming a better, more willing passer. Like, you need to spread that floor a little bit. There's a lot of things he can do to improve his impact while he's on the floor. Shooting threes and knocking them down at a fairly high rate would be fine. Making willing passes, I think, would be a great opportunity, not just for him, but for his teammates, so that they enjoy sharing the floor with Whiteside, not knowing that they're going to dump it off to him and he's going to put up some weak-ass hook shot even though he's being double or triple teamed. So I think that would be the most important step. And then three, being a little bit more aggressive when he does get in the low post. Like, we've seen too many failed shot opportunities from Hassan Whiteside, and a lot of that might be attributed to injury, but he just doesn't really have a significant go-to move that he can use in the low post. He needs more training in that area. I don't know if he wants to play more like facing the basket rather than with his back to the basket. That's not the kind of player he was when he first earned that contract a couple seasons ago. But if that's the player that he wants to be now, that's fine. But he has to be a little bit more versatile in how he provides that kind of production for Miami. They need him to be more versatile as a player.
I'm okay with him taking one three-pointer a game. If that's what it takes to make this guy happy and get him running down the court.
But it's always fool's gold for him, right? I mean, have you ever...
I don't care if he makes it or not.
No, that's fine. But the thing is with him, he takes that 18-foot shot and then he takes it again because he thinks that shot is always there for him. It's like, no, buddy, you're a 30% shooter from the mid-range at best.
And look, like I said, if that's what it takes for him, if we can limit him somehow to one three-pointer a game, and that makes him happy and that makes him, you know, hustle harder on defense and do more work on the offensive end as far as getting on the boards and getting into better position under the rim, then I get it. But to me, the big thing with Whiteside is he's unhappy with his usage. I don't know that he was necessarily unhappy with the way he was being used, even though that's what he says. You know, like, I think if he were to get the ball on a bunch of lobs, which he wasn't. He was not getting the ball on a bunch of lobs at the end of the season in the playoffs. Miami basically stopped lobbing it up for Whiteside. If they would at least do that and let him dunk and get excited and get the fans on his side again, I don't know that he would care if his shot attempts were coming from three-point range or in the post or the dumb little push shot that he's got. Yeah. I think he would just want the points and then he would start working harder on the defensive end. If Miami could use him the way the Warriors use JaVale McGee, JaVale McGee does not use or take three-pointers, and he should not take three-pointers. But he's also getting paid a whole lot less, or was getting paid a whole lot less, than Hassan Whiteside. And you look at Whiteside's $20-plus million contract and you say, well, he should be able to do this, this, and that. No, just go do the two things that we need you to do. Rebound and dunk. And just do those two things consistently and do those two things well on offense, and we'll be happy. And then if he can do those two things well on offense, you hope that that translates to more of an effort on the defensive end. I do think that Spo should stop asking him to switch. I think that they should go back to that conservative style, or not switch, but show and blitz, and go back to a more conservative style on defense and just let him protect the rim. Are you going to give up a few more threes here and there? Probably, but you're also at least playing into what Whiteside does well. If you can't trade him, then I think you just have to deal with it and play into what he does well. But that said, I don't think that you should just cater to his needs and his higher usage wants and just like let him go shooting threes and a bunch of mid-range shots all the time, like whenever he wants. I think you've got to find a way to find a compromise. And like if you could just get him the shots, I think that he'll just be happier overall.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the case. It's hard to tell, right? I mean, I don't even know that restricting his shots was what, you know, led to him feeling somewhat disgruntled. I guess he was most unhappy with how he was being utilized, but I mean...
not being on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, but that's fine. But that's because he wasn't effective as a scorer while he was in there, and he wasn't effective as a player, as a teammate. You know, he wasn't doing the kinds of things that led to victories for Miami, so... that falls mostly on Hassan, to be honest with you.
And I mean, Spo, if, like, look, we've talked about this before, but if they're not able to find, if Whiteside, look, we've been talking about Whiteside like this for 3 years. Let's just get him more lobs. Get him more, he can be more consistent and show more effort on defense. The fact is that that's hard to do. And I just, at the end of the day, he wants to be on the floor in crunch time and at the end of games. And just the way today's league is trending with small ball, it's just harder and harder to do that. And there needs to be a compromise. And Pat Riley's talked about Spo and Whiteside sitting down and hashing it out. I don't know what that looks like. And I don't know who needs to give more, Spo or Whiteside. But the fact is, if the Heat are going to win a bunch of basketball games, Whiteside's not going to be on the floor at the end of games. Unless you're Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid, you're just not on the floor at the end of games. And a lot of times, Joel Embiid wasn't even on the floor at the end of basketball games for the Sixers. It's hard to play those guys at the end. And Whiteside at some point needs to understand that, or else it doesn't matter what kind of shots he's taking for the first 40 minutes of the game. If he's not, if he doesn't get that and he's grumpy at the end of games, it's just going to hurt that locker room in general. And I think that when it comes down to it, Miami probably won't be able to trade him this summer, what it looks like. But if you're able to get the most out of him for the first half of the season, maybe you could trade him at the trade deadline. That might be their best option. And maybe that's the goal, right? If the regular season comes about and Whiteside's still on the roster, that might be the only option left. All right, we're almost done with this mailbag. We'll do a speed round of our final questions when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, it's time for our speed round, David. Are you ready?
Sure.
Sure, I like that excitement. The first one comes from Raheem, who asks, what is the first priority when trades and free agency kick off, in your opinion? So July 1st, start of the off season, the wacky season, the silly season, as we like to call it. What is Miami's first priority when everything kicks off, in your opinion, David?
I think your first priority is to see if you can find a willing taker for Hassan Whiteside. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. I don't think you can get the most out of that, out of Hassan as a player anymore on this roster. He might be happier with a change of scenery. Move him, see what you can get in exchange for him, and kind of move on from there. Clear up cap space, hopefully re-sign Wayne Ellington. I think second to that, as far as free agency is concerned, trying to see if you might be able to lure a LeBron James or another potential superstar here and then make whatever moves you have to in order to accommodate said player on that roster. Those both seem unrealistic, however.
Yeah, bigger picture, obviously. First priority, go get that superstar. Pat Riley's expectations, it sounds like, are not even at that point. I think he'll kick the tires. He'll make a phone call into the Spurs, call in about Kawhi. Maybe you make a phone call to Portland, see if they're willing to break up that backcourt. Make some calls around the league. I think given if the superstar, if the LeBron James, if the Kawhi isn't coming to Miami, look for an all-star. Look for somebody that's younger than Goran Dragic that maybe could turn into an all-star and kind of just be that for the Heat going forward. And just don't take on any money past that 2020-2021 season, unless it's for said all-star. Somebody like a bona fide all-star that you know is going to be that for the foreseeable future. That's your number one priority. And like you said, if that's an option, you make moves to get there. If that takes moving Whiteside for peanuts, then you do it. And I think either way, that should be a priority. According to reports, Riley has been unwilling to move Whiteside for peanuts. I would move him for peanut. I would move him for just the one peanut. I whatever it takes, I would just move him. I'm fine with it.
The peanut shell, perhaps.
The peanut shell, only that. This next one comes from Julie, who asks, considering the huge development of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, do you think Gordon Hayward could be available now, especially counting on his injury? We already know that Riley likes him after all of the effort last offseason. Do you see any chance of acquiring him, David?
Ultimately, no. Let's cut to that right away. I understand the perspective that Yuli brings to the table there. You know, Hayward seems a little bit more expendable. But from Boston's perspective, you can never have too many stars. Look at what happened this year with Hayward and eventually Kyrie Irving going out. The depth that they've acquired over the years through the draft and through making, you know, shrewd moves and exploiting other teams' weaknesses built up such a deep roster that they were still able to contend at a pretty high level, albeit in a weaker Eastern Conference, and still pushed the Cavaliers to 7 games in the playoffs. So I think you want as much depth as possible. You're not necessarily going to stunt the development of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. So I think you're going to do whatever you can to continue to build a very good, strong, deep roster. Mm-hmm. Plus, in the future, making moves like that just hurt the respect that other players will have for that franchise across the league because, well, they did Hayward dirty if they were to able to move him. To reunite him with his college coach, to talk about building something for the future then, I think that would be a really, really bad move for the front office.
And there's this kind of notion that you can't play Tatum, Brown, and Gordon Hayward together, and I still don't understand that. At all. I think you can absolutely play those. Like, you could start Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. That's a great starting five. You switch everything, you're good
to go.
That's
really truly positionless there. I mean, you got wings and maybe even slightly bigger wings. Hayward's a pretty strong guy. He can guard the four at this point in his career.
He's guarded Blake Griffin in the playoffs. Yeah. In his final season in Utah, he guarded Blake Griffin. Jaylen Brown played the stretch four as a rookie. He could play the four. He's very capable of doing it. There's no issue there for me. And overall, no. I don't see any chance in acquiring him. Even if he was on the trade block, what does Miami have that Boston would even want for Gordon Hayward? Like, you would trade them Justice Winslow, another wing? Like, that if they're trading a wing, they're looking for something else.
Remember the days when we thought that Boston might need a rim protector and they could use a Hassan Whiteside, and then we found out that Al Horford was 8 times the player that Whiteside will ever be?
Big Pat writes in, trade idea. What do you think about a trade with Dallas for Wesley Matthews and his expiring contract, and Nerlens Noel for Whiteside? We've got a second one, but let's start with that one.
Well, that's fine, but I think Nerlens is a restricted free agent, right?
He is. Doesn't count. Yeah,
so you can't include him in a trade there. He's one of these types of players who's, you know, had a really rough start to his NBA career. I've heard talk that Golden State's interested in trying to bring him on board, seeing that they can get the most out of their center position with him there.
JaVale McGee 2.0.
Yeah, something like that. You know, there's limited, he's limited in what he can do as a player right now. He doesn't have much offense. He never really did. And as far as Wesley Matthews, that's just an expiring contract. It sounds like a fine deal, again, just to move Whiteside. You're not getting much in exchange for him. I'm kind of leaning more towards the second potential trade option. But what do you think of the first one? Would you do that? I know you've talked about this deal before. Would you make that move?
Yes.
Okay.
In a heartbeat. I reached out
to move Whiteside's contract.
Because there's an opportunity, right? Because you move on from that contract, and if you do a Matthews for Whiteside exchange, you make enough money to re-sign Wayne Ellington. And so you bring Wayne Ellington back, who played obviously an important role for Miami the last 2 years. And then if you trade Whiteside, you create more room for Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo to play.
Sure.
And they are better than Whiteside. So, or the Miami Heat are better than are better when those guys are on the court than when Whiteside is. I emailed Isaac Harris, who writes for Mavs.com. And is the co-host of Locked On Mavericks. And I said, Whiteside for Wesley Matthews, would you do it? And from the Mavs perspective, do you think they would do it? And he basically said, probably as a last resort, they would think about it, and they might do it. And so if you're the Mavericks, they're in the market for a rim protector. They're in the market for a big-time center, but they're in the market for DeAndre Jordan, for DeMarcus Cousins. If they can't get those guys, maybe then you look at Whiteside and say, if all it costs us is Wesley Matthews, who looks like he might get pushed out of the starting lineup after drafting Luka Doncic, if that's all it costs, then they might do it. So I would not rule that out realistically. But the next one, you like better?
I think so. The potential of trading Hassan Whiteside for Harrison Barnes, who's making $24 million, and Salah Mejri, who's making $1.8 million for Hassan. Mm-hmm. So I don't like the inclusion of Mejri. Is it necessary in order to make salaries work? Yeah, I didn't think so. So Barnes, again, like we were talking about Boston earlier, I mean, a guy like Barnes has potential as a versatile defender and scorer. And I think they can do a lot. I think asking him to be the star of your team is probably asking for too much.
As the Mavericks fans just saw.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why he's, quote-unquote, failed in that role. He's been a really solid player, and that's probably all he was, and that's fine. I think you add him to Miami's roster as constructed a replacement for Whiteside, you get another versatile player who can play a number of positions, guard a number of positions, can score from the outside, can take it to the hoop. Is a little passive at times, but that's fine. He's not going to be your superstar acquisition. He's just another really, really good versatile player that adds another skill set there, and that's... that's great. That's what you need. I understand you're paying him too much money, but he probably fits better in Miami's deeper roster than he does in Dallas's roster, trying to be a superstar that he's not.
Mm-hmm. And look, he's a high-usage player, and they just drafted Doncic, who is projected to be a high-usage player, to play next to Dennis Smith Jr., who is a high-usage player. And so you wonder, and I wrote about this for the Step Back, where does Barnes fit in with this? And if the Mavericks decide that they might be better off moving on from Barnes, especially because he's best as a stretch four, like he played in Golden State, and it doesn't exactly work. He played the stretch four next to Dirk at center last season, but Dirk, he could probably only play center at this point, but if you put him next to a real rim protector, maybe you can move him back to that stretch four position, depending on what the Mavericks are trying to do. Ultimately, I don't think that they would be willing to move Barnes for just Whiteside. I think it would take Whiteside and a future draft pick. I really do think that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not worth it, especially if Wesley Matthews' expiring contract is on the table. I would rather have that and the cap space that comes along with it than Harrison Barnes, who you just talked about the faults that he has. I don't know that he could play the role that we'd want him to play, even though he sort of projects as it. He's kind of like that Rudy Gay type where theoretically he fits everything you want, but then you watch him for 82 games and he's like really only that for every once in a while. So I would prefer the Wesley Matthews one. But you would prefer the Harrison Barnes one?
I would.
Okay. That's fair. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to part two of our mailbag. Make sure you go back and catch part one of the mailbag that posted Monday if you didn't already. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.